Welcome back to 40 Minute Mentor, a podcast brought to you by JBM, a search firm that places executives and future leaders into high-growth startups and scale-ups. Before we dive into today's Where Are They Now feature episode, I wanted to tell you about our latest service offering, JBM SOS, a fast and flexible talent solution where founders and VCs tap into an exclusive pool of scale-up operators to plug urgent gaps on an interim or fractional basis, all while de-risking senior hiring. Over the last 12 months, SOS has placed over 50 leaders into some of the fastest growing firms, and the service is in demand more than ever before. So if you're a founder or VC that needs top talent quickly, a scale-up operator interested in high impact roles, or a talent professional that would be interested in joining the SOS team, please reach out to info@jbmc.co.uk. We would love to hear from you. Now on to today's 40 Minute Mentor. Today I'm joined by one of our very first 40 Minute Mentors, a great friend to me and JBM board advisor, Fred Jones. Last time Fred came on the pod, we talked about his scale-up journey as Uber's UK and Ireland general manager and board director. Following 5 incredible years at Uber, which included launching their London's Clean Air Plan, Fred moved to the leading micro-mobility scale-up tier, where he is the VP and regional manager for Northern Europe. In today's episode, Fred shares why he made the move to TIER, how the company keeps pushing industry boundaries, and why he took 2 months off recently from his very busy role to spend time with his newborn daughter. It's another episode filled to the brim with interesting insights and brilliant mentorship. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the next 20 minutes with the awesome Fred Jones. Hi, Fred. Welcome back to 40 Minute Mentor. How are you today?
I am very good, and it's fantastic to be back. I can't believe how long it is since we last spoke on this, but it's good to be back here, mate.
Yeah, it's been a few years pre-COVID, which is, it feels like a lifetime ago. But Fred, as anyone that's listened to the previous podcast will know, we are friends, and you've also been a JBM board advisor for a long time. So it's always extra special having a chat. And you were one of the very first guests on 40 Minute Mentor when you were still at Uber. So since then, you've joined TIER Mobility as VP and regional GM of Northern Europe. So can you tell our listeners a bit about why you decided to leave Uber when you did? And what is it about TIER that was so attractive?
Yeah, I mean, with all these things, I wasn't planning to move, it wasn't some sort of master plan. But my final role at Uber was as the general manager for the UK and Ireland business, which is the role I always wanted to do. And it was fantastic and it was great. And then just in a moment of reflection, was thinking about, what does the next 5 years at Uber look like? Because I'd spent 5 years at the company already. And whilst super exciting business, loads of great innovation coming down the pipeline, it kind of dawned on me that probably the next 5 years as this large global publicly listed company was going to be very different from the last 5 years of this huge rocket ship of a company, the scale up and all the challenges and all the things that I really enjoyed during that period, I probably won't have to get a chance to do again. So I kind of thought, well, actually, that's what I really enjoyed. The Uber learning experience was just once in a career, once in a lifetime. So I thought, I want to go back and try and do it again. A, because I really enjoyed it, but B, can I make a few less mistakes this time? Can I be a little bit better? Can I put into practice all those learning experiences I had? So that's what caused me to go and look to join another, fast-growing scale-up. And thanks to your good self, in fact, ended up chatting to Lawrence, the CEO of TIER, and I was really interested in micro-mobility from Uber's standpoint. Which is at the time a very car-dominated business. It was pretty clear that in cities across the world, and particularly UK and Europe, we don't want cars in cities. and the pandemic was just accelerating that change, as well as the ongoing alarming scientific research into the state of the climate. So I saw this as a really exciting growth industry, very close to my current experience. I felt very comfortable there. And the reason I went with TIER was I was super impressed with their exec team. And just as I got to know them, I just really felt they were going about it in exactly the right way. They really understood kind of culturally what it meant to operate in a regulated business, which is so important in mobility. And also, this desire to do things right. particularly from a sustainability point of view. So a lot of companies talk about sustainability and they do good CSR initiatives. But, you know, whenever you speak to Lawrence, this guy is so passionate about it. I mean, he's donated his entire stake in Tier to a fund that will invest in new technologies to reverse climate change, in which he won't benefit. So he's not doing this for money. He's doing this because he understands we need to make a fundamental change in how we move around cities, and he's building this company to do it. And that made such a huge impression on me. And I thought, I want to go and work for this guy and the others. And yeah, I haven't regretted it. It's been absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, and what a great company to join. I mean, I played a very small part in that that introduction. You did all the hard work, but it really made so much sense, as you said. I mean, your experience, you know, it is very hard to replicate what you did at Uber, being such a unique category-defining business. But, you know, you've definitely backed another rocket ship by joining Tier when you did. And having crawled through London traffic on Saturday morning, I couldn't agree more that we need less cars and more Tier scooters on the roads. So tell our listeners, and I know it's been a fantastic ride for you since you joined. Tell our listeners, if you don't mind, Fred, what does a typical day look like as a regional GM? And what are you most proud of since you joined?
Yeah, so typical day, I guess for anyone who works in a scale-up knows that there is no standard day, which is part of the joy and the excitement of it all and what keeps me motivated. So I look after Northern Europe. So that's the four Nordics countries, UK and Ireland. The businesses are at very different stages. So the Nordics is established, quite a mature market for e-scooters and e-bikes and pedal bikes, but rapidly legislation and regulations coming in. The UK is just going through trial, so right at the start in its relative infancy, and Ireland hasn't even legalized yet, so it's a lot of market development and getting the market ready. And so I kind of balance my time really between helping my teams sort out problems that come up day to day. You know, MicroMobility is a complex business. Not only do you have physical assets on the ground that you have to keep operationally working, but we have very complicated supply chains, which, you know, through COVID and things like Brexit have been really challenging to manage, brings a lot of uncertainty into the business. So there's a lot of day-to-day work just helping teams resolve those issues. And then the other half is mainly about making sure we're building and putting in place the right things to be successful in 12 to 24 months' time. And really what that comes down to is, you know, in a company and an industry where there's loads of opportunity, unfortunately, there's too much opportunity for the resources you have. So it's always about how to make those quite difficult prioritization calls, because you can't do everything. Otherwise, you'll just do everything badly. So you really need to kind of prioritize and focus. And that makes, you know, difficult trade-offs and some decisions. So really working through those, not just within my region, but, you know, across the company as well.
Amazing. Thanks, Fred. What have been, as you said, we know that the scale-up world is every day is different, and probably every day brings new challenges and frustrations as well. So what have been the hardest parts of scaling across the UK and the Nordics, what have been the most challenging parts of your role so far?
I mean, I think some of the most challenging bits are probably, as I touched on there, which is around things like supply chains and transport. You're always trying to balance, you know, we've developed a plan that we want to deliver and hit, but there's a lot of factors outside our control to actually kind of execute that. It's very different from, you know, maybe a SaaS business or, you know, a kind of true platform business. So, you know, some of the real complex ones are, how long will it take to get the vehicles, you know, over from China? What do the new Brexit custom controls look like? You know, the driver shortage from the pandemic. Can we marry up when we think we're going to get them to when we need them to deploy? And, you know, all around that, particularly in MicroMobility, which is a seasonal business, is, you know, too much delay can really impact the plan, because obviously most people want to use bikes and scooters when it's great weather and when you get about. So I guess that's quite a complex, that's probably one of the biggest challenges we faced in the first part of this year and the back part of last year.
And they are such complex challenges. They really are. And chucking a global pandemic into the mix as well, I guess that just exacerbates everything. So, I mean, well done to you all for getting through the last year. And I know the business has continued to kind of thrive despite all those external challenges. Mobility, you know, we've seen as headhunters in the scale-up world, mobility is really one of the most popular industries. It's one that we get calls about all the time that people want to work in. So for anyone listening that's thinking about how to get in, firstly, what are the benefits of being in the industry? And what makes TIER such a competitive and fantastic business to work at?
I think the popularity of mobility really stems, I think, from two things. Yeah, this is what when I interview people and we bring on individuals into the team, is one is around purpose. So people want to work for a company where you're solving a big problem that means a lot. And, you know, given the challenges, whether we face just getting across the city in rush hour or actually the climate emergency and the significant impact that's going to have on all our lives, fixing transport and fixing mobility will help solve that. So it's a fantastic purpose. And I think the second is tangible impact. Is, you know, nothing gives me more of a buzz when I'm going along and I see someone on a TIER scooter or TIER bike. You're like, oh, awesome. Because, you know, they weren't there before I joined and look what we've done, and we've got, you know, all the hard graft that has gone on to do that. And so it's a real tangible impact. So I think both purpose and impact is a fantastic mix, which makes mobility really exciting.
I was going to say, Fred, we were sitting having lunch the other day, weren't we? And literally just across the road were some TIER scooters. And I remember just thinking, wow, that's very cool. That is, you were a part of getting those on the road. So that must feel incredible.
Yeah, when you see that, you kind of pinch yourself. Oh, yeah, I love that tangible nature. And, you know, that for me, that extends when you're particularly in micromobility, when you go, we've got, you know, big warehouses, big teams, you know, it's very tangible. Yeah, just seeing all the effort that people are doing and all the work that's going on. Yeah, and I love that aspect of the business as well. I mean, why is TIER fantastic? I think it comes to a multiple different areas. Is we are doing it right. And I think that comes around in a number of different ways. So, obviously in a scale-up industry, there's pressure to grow. There's pressure to be big. There's pressure to be first. You know, there's a lot of competition out there. It's a really competitive industry. So actually things like, understanding what having a safety first culture means and, understanding what it means to be a regulated business, understanding what it means to be a sustainable business. And then also just, TIER has fantastic operational discipline. So, this isn't kind of just growth at all costs. We're doing it in a very deliberate way to build a financially sustainable business as well.
Which you don't hear about very often, do you?
You don't. But there's been a lot of, started to be a lot of consolidation in the industry. And TIER is really leading that. So we've acquired Nextbike, who do a huge array of docked bike schemes. So they run, the city scheme in Glasgow and Cardiff, as well as Spin, which was an e-scooter company we purchased from Ford. We have a large North American presence, but also a large one in the UK as well. So, I think all those things are manifesting as the industry consolidates. TIER is one of the leading companies. I think we are now the largest global micromobility company, bringing those together. And I kind of think if you want to make a big impact, you've got to be in the company that can have the biggest impact. And for me, that's TIER, and it's an exciting place to be.
There's been loads of development in offering sustainable transport options over the last few years. And we've touched on it. I guess, Lawrence, the CEO, he has clearly a very strong personal mission that has filtered down to the business and the impact you've been having. But we also know there is the climate emergency and there's so much more that we need to do to get to zero emissions. So where do you think the industry's heading next? And what plans does TIER have to kind of further have a greater impact when it comes to tackling the climate crisis?
Yeah, I think, if we reflect on our own personal kind of lives and how we get about, is if we want to reduce dependence on private cars, there is no other mode that can match it for convenience, practicality, et cetera, et cetera. So, where TIER's going and our kind of strategy, which I think is the right one, is you have to be able to offer people a whole suite of options to be able to get around their city, solve different use cases. For, and it's not just young white guys. You need to think about people of all ages and all abilities. And so, that's where it's not just the e-scooter, it's the e-bike, it's the pedal bike, the cargo bike, to support businesses, and you've got to think about the infrastructure. So we've got our energy network, which is a common battery across all platforms that we can swap or users can swap, really cheap to install in local partner stores. And I think you've got to really take a holistic view, because every city's different and they'll need a suite of options to help them get their city off cars. And that's what Tier can bring and tailor, you know, in any way necessary to make it work for, you know, large city like London or Paris or Berlin, to historic cities like York, new cities like Milton Keynes, or counties like Essex. You know, we really pull on a whole variety of different options to configure it to what that local authority needs to make their transport more sustainable for citizens.
Oh, it sounds like such an exciting time to be in the industry, and particularly at Tier, given you're really leading the way on that. Switching topics slightly, I know you've just taken a 2-month parental leave break to look after your adorable youngest daughter. So first of all, massive congrats. Had the pleasure of meeting her the other day at lunch. How have you sort of adapted to this new role, having been, you know, head down scaling Tier for the last couple of years? And what advice do you have for any other parents listening to this that are trying to balance maybe a big role in a scale up with parenting, and potentially are thinking about doing something similar, taking some time out just to be a full-time parent?
Yeah, when people ask kind of how is it going, yeah, I feel there's a pressure to always say, oh, wonderful. You know, Phoebe and I are skipping through the park every day and it's bliss. But, you know, parenting is hard. You know this. I'm sure anyone else would, because it is, you know, the struggle is real.
The struggle is so real.
I've got a 5-year-old boy. And, you know, I in a completely different way from work, I find it exhausting. You know, the morning, getting them up, fed, dressed, and to, you know, then on the school run to drop my son off at school on time is, yeah. We talk about high pressure situations. That I feel that one every morning. And then the reverse on the pickup. So, but I likened it to, you know, maybe like going on a big hike. You might not always enjoy it in the moment every time, but, you know, you sit back at the end and go, oh yeah, that was great and worthwhile. And I find particularly young kids are quite transactional. The more you put in, the more they give you back. You know, I don't know about you, but I notice if I've had a busy week at work, or I've done some travel and they haven't seen me for a couple of days, you know, you notice it at the weekend. They're slightly different with you. But equally, if you've been there every day, your relationship is that much better, and, you know, they're that much more into you. And so it's worthwhile to do. I mean, I certainly, as I'm sure a lot of people feel, is because it's still not particularly common for guys to take extended time out to look after their kids. I mean, it's definitely changing. You know, definitely more people are doing it. But I think, you know, guys that do it are probably still in the minority. And certainly I felt a lot of pressure within myself, because you're like, oh, it's a busy year. There's loads going on. I'm missing some critical stuff. I'm asking my team to take on even more work whilst I'm out. You know, should I really be doing this? Is now the right time? But the way I thought about it, when my daughter's 18, or when I'm 60, or when I'm going to retire, whenever that is, you know, you're never going to look back and think, I wish I worked for 2 months more and didn't spend it with my daughter. I question whether you could even remember what those important things were that mean so much to us now. And so, you know, if you try and make a decision, like, you know, what would a 60-year-old Fred advise you to do, rather than, you know, me right here? And then it was an easy decision to make. And unfortunately, you know, fantastic team and company that really kind of supported me in wanting to do that. And so for anyone else thinking about it, you know, I'd do the same. And if for whatever reason their company or team has a problem with it, then it's probably a good indicator. Is that the right company and team you want to be part of?
Yeah, fair enough.
I did it with I took 3 months off with my son. Obviously wanted to have done it again with Phoebe. I would recommend anyone doing it. And, you know, I think what the pandemic and working from home has helped break down some of those barriers between our home and family lives and work.
Totally agree.
And so I'm very clear with everyone I work with, my team. Yeah, they know I've got a family. They know I do the school drop off. They know that's an important part of my day that I protect. And bath, I mean, they can hear in the background when it's bath time as chaos takes over our house. But, you know, I think it's really important to be vocal and transparent about those things. not only to help you carve out the time to do it, but I think it sends an important signal to your team that they can prioritize their family as well. And they don't have to pretend that nothing else exists outside the kind of the four corners of their screen, because, you know, particularly not just for your kids, but for your partner as well. It's tough. You know, we find it tough. and you need a team effort on the kids. And yeah, I think it's so important.
100%. I mean, so much that you just talked about resonates with me. And I know will do with lots of listeners. And I think it's really, really important. This is why we wanted to ask the question, because I think this needs to be talked about more. You know, I think you're a shining example in this kind of world of that it can be done and that companies should embrace it. And that it's really, really good to see it in teams. You know, I block out every day that I'm working from home, you know, the drop-off time in my diary. It's there for to see. Everyone knows that is sacred time, same as bedtimes. And I just think it's important to set that precedent. And I didn't do that before the pandemic. And that's definitely something that has changed. And I think it's a really important change. I'm so glad you've done it. And I hope it will inspire others to go for it too. Because as you said, these are precious times. And before you know it, they've grown up and flown the nest and you don't get some of that time back. Sienna is next door with chickenpox right now. Just one of the many joys of parenting. And I know you've been up against TFL at Uber and, you know, on the news before, but the kind of morning routine is every bit as stressful, you know, every day of the week.
That's the high pressure situation. That is, because you can't be the parent that turns up late. You can't be the turns up late.
You don't want to be that guy. No. Oh, no. Thank you for sharing, Fred. I think that's really important. And finally, we're looking ahead to the rest of 2022. Can't believe we're almost halfway through it. What does the rest of the year hold for you and for Tier? And is there anything particularly exciting in the calendar that you have that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, a couple of things. I think you're not wishing away my time off at the moment, but you know, I am looking forward to kind of getting back. Tier just, I think I mentioned it earlier, Tier has acquired a couple of companies. So Next Bike and Spin. And for my UK team, you know, that's going to be a significant change to the team. And so I'm really looking forward to kind of continuing that integration, bringing all the teams together, setting ourselves up for success. So a lot of exciting work to do for the remainder of the year there. I saw an invite come through. We've got our company Global Summit in August in Berlin. So having joined Tier during lockdown, I mean, I've over the time and as things have eased up, I've got to meet some people in person, but still, as crazy as there's loads of people I haven't actually spent that much time face to face with. So I'm really looking forward to that opportunity to kind of get out there and spend a good amount of time with everyone face to face as well. So yeah, bring it on.
Brilliant. Yeah. Oh, it's so nice. We're doing all this stuff in person again, isn't it? We did our first in-person event the other day, and it's the first one we've done since before the pandemic. It's just so joyous. I mean, it's just a small intimate thing, about 20 people in total, but it was just lovely to see people and it feel very normal. And I think that's such a good sign.
Yeah, you kind of flip back into reserve, and for me it's just like, yeah, you just get that energy from it.
Yes,
you know, commuting and traveling is tiring, but I find if I'm spend all day in my spare bedroom, you know, it is hard to kind of get the energy up, and it makes a big difference just being in a room with some people, you know, working like you used to.
yeah exactly. Well, Fred, thank you as ever for giving us your time, sharing your mentorship and telling us what you've been up to in the last couple of years since you last came a 40-minute mentor. It's always a pleasure. And we wish you the very best for the rest of your time with Phoebe and for the rest of 2022 for all the exciting things that you and Tier have in store.
Cheers for having me along, Missy. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. A lot of people don't know, but Fred is one of the most important people in the JBM story. He actually had a fundamental role in us pivoting our business model to work purely with startups and scale-ups about 5 years ago. So I will always be forever indebted to him for his guidance and mentorship. So it's an extra special pleasure when I get to bring him onto the podcast, as he's such a wonderful guy and a brilliant, brilliant scale-up leader. So I hope you really enjoyed that episode. Tier are doing some amazing things in the mobility space. So if you haven't checked them out before, have a look at their website. I'm sure you've also seen their scooters whizzing about London. Fred's played a fundamental role in making that happen. We'll leave a link in the show notes for you to check it out. Besides finding out more about Fred's role at Tier and his advice for anyone looking to work in the industry, I also really loved chatting to Fred about parenthood and his experience of taking 2 months off to spend quality time with his daughter. I'm sure lots of you working parents were able to relate to Fred's morning routine challenges. I certainly can. So thanks again, Fred, for sharing that. If you enjoyed this episode as much as I did, please make sure you check out Fred's first 40-minute mentor appearance in Series 1. And don't forget to hit subscribe and leave us a review on Apple, Spotify, or any of your favorite podcast platforms. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much for tuning in again, and I'll see you next Wednesday for another Where Are They Now episode.